Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Come, let us worship the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Give ear to my prayer, O God. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, but I could bear it. But it is you, a man, my equal. We used to take sweet counsel together. But I call to God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you.
The Old Testament reading is from the
book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord, to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way, and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets, who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams, that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
continue with the hymn of the day.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In a document called the Formula of Concord, our Lutheran confessions define faith in this way. And you're going to have to bear with me here for a moment. It is a lengthy quotation, but it is worth it because it so well captures the essence of the teaching of faith that we have in our epistle text this morning. The formula says, faith is a divine work in us which changes us and makes us to be born anew of God, as the Apostle John says. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This faith kills the old Adam and makes us altogether different people in heart and spirit and mind and all powers. And it brings with it the Holy Spirit. Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It is impossible for it not to be doing good works incessantly. It does not ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is asked, it has already done them and is constantly doing them. Whoever does not do such works, however, is an unbeliever who gropes and looks around for faith and good works, but knows neither what faith is nor what good works are. Yet such a person talks and talks with many words about faith and good works. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that the believer would stake his life itself on it 1,000 times. This knowledge of and confidence in God's grace makes people glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and with all creatures. And this is the work which the Holy Spirit performs in faith. Because of it, without compulsion, a person is ready and glad to do good to everyone, to serve everyone, to suffer everything out of love and praise to God, who has shown this grace. Thus, it is impossible to separate works from faith, quite as impossible as to separate heat and light from fire. We are not justified before God by works in any sense. The Holy Scriptures absolutely and clearly exclude them from the equation. As St. Paul says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith." And again, more succinctly, Paul says, "One is justified by faith apart from works of the law." But nevertheless, this faith, which is a living and daring confidence in God's grace, so daring that the believer stakes his life on God and his mercy for us in Christ 1,000 times, this faith receives also the Holy Spirit, who works in us the new birth, so that insofar as we are regenerate, it makes us altogether different people. This faith hears the words of the law, and it believes it, receives its just judgment on the old Adam, and puts him to death. And it hears the word of the gospel, the free forgiveness for sins in Christ Jesus, and believes it, receives it, and appropriates it to itself, so that we become new. The kind of person whom God has made us to be, the kind that we are destined to be by his grace. And from the new life, works by necessity follow. As a natural consequence, they come forth. Now, that does not mean that we are ever perfected in this life. On this side of glory, the old Adam, that sinful nature, still clings to us. And yet that new man battles against him with nothing other than that faith which clings to the gifts of God in word and sacrament. This is Luther's famous simile, simile justus et peccator. We are at the same time simultaneously sinners and saints. We are saints perfectly holy before God on account of Christ's holiness, which covers us in his holiness, which covers our whole being. We are also saints insofar as we are regenerate, insofar as we are the new man who perfectly loves God, who perfectly loves our Heavenly Father, and is conformed to his will as an obedient child who believes that whatever his Father decrees is best. And yet we are still sinners. That old man still has his fingers in everything. So that if we were to be judged apart from Christ and his work, every emotion, every movement of our hearts would still be found wanting in the righteous judgment of God. But the mercies of God are new every day. And a part of faith is not only hearing the promises and believing them in baptism and the supper and in the absolution, but it is also looking forward to that last day when sin is finally put to death in us. That at the last, every last sin will be put to death, and we will be in the state of glory, holy in ourselves by God's grace. But even now, faith is a divine work in us that changes us and makes us to be born anew of God. Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith, so that it is always active. So it is by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. In obedience to God's command, he was willing to sacrifice his own son. Why? Because he believed God and his promises. He knew God was faithful. And so was spinning the roulette wheel, and he put all his chips down on God and his faithfulness. He knew that God had promised, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And so he knew, no matter what, he'd receive Isaac back again. I think Genesis suggests that knowing by faith the character of God, Abraham even suspected what God would do. When he left his servants, Abraham said, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come to you again." His words testify that he believed, even as he ascended that mountain, that he'd return with Isaac. And when Isaac said to his father, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham replied, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." And of course, there on the top of the mountain, the angel of the Lord, who is none other than Christ himself, came and commanded Abraham to stop the sacrifice and provided him with a ram whose horns were caught in a thicket of thorns. That is to say, a ram crowned with thorns. All of this pointing forward to none other than himself, who would go with a crown of thorns to be the sacrifice in place of Isaac, in place of Abraham, and in place of all mankind. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, and Jacob blessed Joseph and his sons, and Joseph commanded that the Israelites bring his bones out of Egypt once God had made them a nation and delivered them into the land of Canaan. All of them speaking their blessings and giving their future directives not by their own power, but knowing that what God had spoken was surely to come to pass. Even, indeed, the grammar of the Hebrew Old Testament demonstrates this faith in God's unwavering and unswerving and unchanging faithfulness to his words and promises. For prophecies, which by their nature are spoken about future events, are often written down in the past tense. For what God has spoken, even if it has yet to pass, is as good as done. It is a fait accompli, even if it is a future event. While in Egypt, when Pharaoh, the mightiest king in all the world, gave the command that the sons of Israel were to be killed, by faith, Moses' parents saved him, along with the midwives among the people who refused to follow Pharaoh's orders. By faith, they loved and they feared the Lord more than they feared Pharaoh, and so they obeyed God rather than men. And they accounted the verdict of God as being more significant than the courts of men. And by this same faith, Moses, who had been adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, raised up in Pharaoh's house with all the pleasures and all the honors that a person could desire, he instead refused to call the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Sorry, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Note first what it says. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Clearly we see that the faith of the Old Testament saints was in none other than Christ who was to come. Christ, the suffering servant, the anointed one, who would bear the world's scorn for Moses, and for our sake as well. By faith, he saw to share in Christ's suffering was greater than all the temples and palaces, the monuments and pyramids of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he saw that these were all dust and they were passing away, but those who suffer with Christ also share in his glory. which never passes away, but abides forever. Imagine how different our lives would be in our counties, our cities, our states, and our country would be if all who took the name of Christ did not fear the reproach of his name, but considered it greater wealth and honor than anything the world had to offer. If the reproach of the elites and Hollywood over social issues, if the reproach of our lost neighbors over our sexual ethics, if the reproach from our coaches and teammates for missing practice for church meant nothing for us, if every Christian bearing Christ's name counted it as the highest wealth. Indeed, by faith, Moses stood up to Pharaoh, not afraid of his anger or of his armies, but instead he kept his eyes fixated on the faithfulness of God, whom he saw by faith. By faith he kept the Passover, while looking forward to Christ, the final Passover lamb, whose sprinkled blood saves all the children of God from eternal death. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea. By faith the walls of Jericho fell. By faith Rahab was preserved, and Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel conquered. Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It does not ask whether the will of God is to be done. Before the question is asked, it has already done it and is constantly doing it. It is not blind, this faith, but it bets everything on God. Every last thing on God and his faithfulness to us in Jesus Christ, who promises us a reward, a heavenly country, an everlasting kingdom, everlasting Christ, everlasting life, all given to us by Christ, given as a free gift, received by faith. Because all of this is a free gift, we are free to live faithfully without fear. God has spoken. Christ has conquered. The reward is ours. If you bet on anything, you can bet that the will of God will be done. There is nothing that the world can do to us. We are free to face the mouths of the lions, to quench the power of fire, to be made strong out of weakness, and to be made mighty in war. God does great things through faith. Also, we are free to endure. To endure all suffering, counting it as glory to suffer with Christ. Mocking and flogging, the chains of imprisonment, death by stone or sword, destitution, affliction, abuse, all are nothing when looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who gives this faith. It is his divine work in us. And he is the only one who brings it to perfection. And so since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all the faithful who have gone on before us, not just the Old Testament saints, not just the prophets, not just the apostles and the martyrs, but all those who have gone on before us in this very congregation and are buried across the street. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. In the name of Christ, whose reproach is greater than all the wealth of the world. Amen. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering.
Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of hosts, our fathers in the faith gave a good confession of your truth before the powers of the world. In the spirit of Jeremiah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, strengthen our hearts in days of division to confess in our words and lives the glory of your name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, bless this congregation and our life together around the word and table of the Lord. Grant that the work of God would go forth from this place, and that it would bless and prosper all things according to his will. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, be with those who have wandered from the faith, those who have been absent from the Lord's house, and those we have hurt or wounded in word and deed. Reconcile them to yourself, that they would know the forgiveness of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you called Jeremiah as a youth and used him in your service. We give you thanks for the young Christians you have made your children. By your word, strengthen them for daily life, and help them to grow as your people. Keep them and all youth in your care. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you shepherd the nations according to your word. Grant all rulers wisdom and faith to serve for the good of their people, and to promote peace and quietness for the flourishing of every godly endeavor, and grant your protection to police officers and those who serve in our armed forces, such as Sean, as they carry the civil sword. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, grant healing to the sick, especially to Pauline, Kelly, Janice, Edie, Joyce, Angie, Jordan, and Aubrey. Strength to the weak. Endurance to bear up under trial, patience to await his deliverance, and peace at the last. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, your dear Son suffered and died for our redemption. Embolden us by the witness of that great company of saints who remained faithful unto death, that we would likewise fix our eyes on Christ, and so share in his victory over the grave. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Blessed 10th Sunday after Pentecost to you all. Some announcements for the upcoming week and weeks. Well, first, right after the service, any kids that want to come join us, we'll be having some bubbles over at the parsonage, so you can come and join us for some fun with bubbles after the service. Ladies Aid will be meeting this Tuesday at 7 p.m., they'll be discussing the details of the Fall Supper. All ladies are invited. The confirmation info meeting, so confirmation and CWS, will be starting up here in September. First, we'll have the confirmation information meeting on September 3rd at 6 p.m. that Wednesday. So if you have a kid going into confirmation, parents and kids as well, please join us for that, for the information meeting. And then CWS will start the following week after that. Keep bringing in those tabs, and we continue to have details about the co-op. Any announcements that I've missed this morning? depart in peace.